Miss Barbara has a special this morning.
He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God, and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be our Father and would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I've tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. It's good. More than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
Phyllis, I wish I had Mandy Hill standing here beside me. She can do this.
I stand amazed to think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. He's promised and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
Barbara and Miss Marlene, thank y'all so much. Miss Barbara's wearing many hats this morning, as she normally does. Organ, choir director, special. Also pray for Trey. He's over at Hollis Chapel. Woo, thank you. And I was about to say Judson, but that's the other way. And but pray for him. He's speaking this morning. The Lord's using him. He was sharing with me the other day over at the house different phone calls that he's been getting and appointments that he's been filling. He's had to turn down some because of we have the TLC coming up, our church camp. He's going to be a cell group leader, so he's going to be there early that Sunday. And so pray for our church camp. Brother Evan told me that he pre-registered this morning almost 50 campers. And so we contacted a couple of churches. We've got one nailed down for certain for their 26-passenger bus that we've rented from them before. And we're pretty sure we've got another one nailed down, another 26-passenger bus. And that'll almost just take care of it right there. And so hopefully that'll all work out. Brother Evan and I have been talking about that and lining it out. He's been working hard behind the scenes, getting everything ready for all the different church camps and the getting ready for, of course, his duties there at the church camps. We've got all that going on. If I'm a little sluggish or a little tired, I got up and help Karen and Taylor pack up this morning at 2 a.m. And she and I have been up ever since. And she got about maybe a 10, 15-minute cat nap, and so did I since 2 a.m. this morning. We're going to guarantee you don't anyone call unless it's an emergency this afternoon, okay? If it's an emergency, we'll let you go. But I think we might want a nap this afternoon. The Lord's blessed our church unbelievably. We've had just a lot of people giving for different things and different reasons. Those who've helped us out as a family, different expenses, whether it be for gas, some have helped us. Some have helped us, like I say, with my air conditioning on my truck. There's been many other, I think, more important things. Our church and Bible school collected well over $600 to add to the vehicle that our church has purchased. It's still being processed right now, being sent over to the Philippines. $4,500 getting a vehicle for Brother Ravel Albino, our church's missionary, and our class's missionary over in the Philippines. He does a great work, a fine work. Just want to brag on you for that. Many people have been giving for other things the other day. People have just been picking up and cleaning up. I wasn't able to be here. Someone said a minute to work out that way, but I didn't. There were several of you that helped out on the men's, or not men's, but it was the work day before homecoming. A lot of things got done around here. I appreciate everybody who pitched in on that. The cleanup after Bible school. We had an awesome vacation Bible school, and people were just picking up and just helping out. Karen went to go get the final few things out of the room she used, and I think Brother Ronnie and Brother Jeff had already got all that stuff out of her way and picked it up, and we're still getting situated. Our church just purchased $2,000 worth of tables and chairs. We're trying to put everything where it needs to go, and like I say, everybody's been so generous and giving. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes and just thank everyone for their hard work. We've got all these projects, flagpoles going up, new library being built. Just things are happening everywhere, and I hope and pray that our church would continue to be a bright and shining light in this community. Speaking of bright and shining light, Casey's over there in the dark, and the light bulb went out above his head. And but anyway, we'll try to get that one to going again. Let's head now to Matthew chapter 12. Just want to say thanks for everybody that does so much. We're going to talk about something that it seems, even though it really hasn't ever been with me, I've had my mind made up on this particular passage of Scripture. There are some things in the Bible that people may have a different view on, such as, number one, I know that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, people have different opinions on the timing of it. Well, that's okay. I've never, especially with my nature, I've never, knocked heads with anyone over the timing of the Lord's return. I do know this, and most people agree, He is coming again. Now, some people have Him coming, at different points during a 7-year period of time, but He's coming, and He'll come, and He knows when He's coming. Now, I say that knowing that God knows, and He'll tell His Son, okay, it's time to go and get your people, and it'll happen. It's called the rapture, and there's another time that's called the second coming when He comes with us. In Matthew chapter 12, there's something mentioned that's called the unforgivable sin, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. You know, one of the greatest things that a person can ever know is the fact that you're forgiven. Matter of fact, it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to someone is forgiveness. Did you know that I cannot force you to forgive me? It is your choice. Matter of fact, the English word itself comes from a Latin word which has to do with to offer. It's a gift for to you to give. And it has to do with pardon. And it is a gift. Forgive is something that you give to someone else, is a pardon. To release one of one's responsibility of a crime, or to offer peace that comes with that forgiveness. Now, so if I do something to hurt you, something to offend you, did you know that I can beg and plead, but you don't have to forgive me? It is your choice whether to forgive me or not. Now, did you know this? There's two types of forgiveness. I think I've preached on this before. There's forgiveness in what I call the horizontal sense, that you forgive each other. And then the vertical sense of forgiveness is whenever you ask God to pardon them also. You ask God, matter of fact, Jesus, and the only two occasions that I can think of off the top of my head right now, Jesus did it on the cross where He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was asking God to forgive them. And then, the deacon Stephen, whenever he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, talking about the men who were killing Him with these big old rocks. He was being stoned to death, and he prayed to God, lay not this sin to their charge, which means forgive them, God. And so there's a vertical and a horizontal forgiveness. But forgiveness is something that is an awesome gift, to be forgiven when you're guilty. Folks, this can come from your brother, your family, your friend, but it can also come from God. There's a story that's an old story. Matter of fact, it's based upon the true events. Many of you may have seen the movie Braveheart. And right there toward the end of the movie Braveheart, it was a fellow by the name of Sir Robert Bruce, who was supposed to be the new king, or crowned the king of Scotland. And William Wallace fought for the independency of Scotland. The fellow in Braveheart, played by, what's his name? But he was, guess what? He was killed. He was sacrificed, or a martyr, so that Scotland could have its independence. Mel Gibson, as the name that came to mind, finally. He was sacrificed or martyred so that Scotland could have its independence from England. Well, according to the story that goes after the movie of Braveheart, in the 14th century, Robert Bruce, who was the fellow there at the end who betrayed him, but then, of course, in the movie and also in history later on became the king of Scotland, was leading his men in a battle to gain independence from England. And near the end of the conflict, the English wanted to capture Bruce to keep him from the Scottish crown. So they captured his own bloodhounds. Some coon hunter asked me, was these Treant Walkers or were they, what were they? Were blue ticks? There's bloodhounds on his trail. And when the bloodhounds got close, Bruce could hear their baying. His attendant said, "We're done for. They're on our trail and they're going to reveal our hiding place." Bruce replied, "It's all right." He headed for a stream that flowed through the forest there. He plunged in, waded upstream a ways, and he came out on the other bank and he was in the depths of the forest. The hounds, tracing their master's steps, came to the bank. And when they got to the water, they went no farther because they lost the scent of their master in the water. Now, what this typifies is this. And a short time later, the crown of Scotland was on the head of Sir Robert Bruce. And I want to say this, that Satan has his bloodhounds after you to reveal your hiding place and to condemn you guilty of sin. But if you want to be forgiven, there's only one way to get out of being caught by the devil, so to speak. And that is to cross the stream of the blood of Jesus Christ. Go into that stream, and forever Satan and all his henchmen can never accuse you, can never trap you, and you will never be discovered again by him. You won't be. Matter of fact, according, I love that verse over in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that says, "Therefore, to them who are in Christ, there is no condemnation." Did you know that? Once you get saved, you can no longer be condemned by Satan or anyone else. Now, we'll get to forgiveness in just a little bit further. Just a little later on, there's something that happens that a lot of people have trouble with, and that is the idea of forgiveness. Is there an unforgivable sin? Is there an unforgivable person in your life? Go, if you will, just quickly. I'm going to look up a couple of scriptures, but before we begin reading here in Matthew, in Acts chapter 13, and then in Colossians chapter 1. Get this lined out here. Acts chapter 13. And verse 38, it says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which could not be justified by the law of Moses." Did you know that Jesus died so that you could be forgiven of anything and everything? But there is still an unforgivable sin. Now, I'll explain in just a second, but I got to leave you hanging. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through His blood." Remember that river I was telling you about? When you cross the river of His blood, it says that you have the forgiveness of sins, right there. It's what it says. Jesus shed His blood so that you could have forgiveness. Now, some have taught that the unforgivable sin is committing suicide. Some have taught that even, that, but it's forgivable, that the, even the unforgivable sin would be adultery. Well, we know it's not, you know, thank the Lord for governor of South Carolina, that it can be forgivable. All you got to do is ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of anything, and He will. The Bible doesn't say that you have to go to any man to ask. You don't come to me and ask forgiveness of sin. I've been around people before. I even remember, you know, I surrendered to preach whenever I was still in high school. And I was in February of my senior year, and I was sitting in the lunchroom one time, and let's see, what was his name? Carl Robertson, I believe. And his big old lineman from on our football team, and he was sitting there in the lunchroom. He was a few seats down from me, and he let off a couple of expletives, and he said, "Oh, sorry about that, preacher." You know, then he was just rattling, just going along, and all of a sudden, I guess he had a habit or whatever, I'm not sure. All of a sudden, a couple of more just rolled off. "Oh, sorry about that, Michael. I didn't mean to, like, it's okay to cuss, but not around a preacher. You're not supposed to do. It's okay to drink, but not, you know," it's kind of like, went up to visit a friend of mine. And matter of fact, his name was Bruce, and not my friend Larry, who drank himself into the creek and died. But another fella, and I went up to visit him. He hadn't been to church in a while, and he had a can of beer sitting there, and here I come. He hid it down there. Just, you know, he said, "I saw you coming, just figured I'd do that out." Well, I said, "Well, I appreciate the respect, but you ain't got to hide it from me. I'm not your judge. And thank the Lord, you know, or I'd done rain fire down on all, no telling how many people. I don't know. But, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's not, forgiveness doesn't come from a man. Except, you know, unless you offend me. And then you say, "Well, I'm sorry about that." You know, I say, "It's okay. I forgive you," or whatever. "And I'm not holding a grudge," or ever how you want to look at it or put it. But the ultimate forgiveness that we need and I received has been from Jesus. And I asked Him to save me and come into my life. But folks, since I've been saved, I still sin. How do we deal with that? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I mess up, and so I ask Him to forgive me. And so it doesn't mean I lose my salvation. I want to keep my relationship with Him open. Well, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, let's just look at these things really quick here. Matthew 12:22, there's a scene, of course, the bad guys in Jesus' day are the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the ones who were legalists. In other words, they believed in keeping rules and regulations to the point that they worshiped them. And so they brought unto Him one possessed with a devil. Brought this fellow to Jesus. He was possessed with a devil, which caused him to be blind and dumb. And He, that's Jesus, healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the Son of David?" In other words, they were ready to crown Him king right then and there. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fella doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils," and which is another name for Satan, Lucifer, the devil, and all those other things. Okay? Jesus knew their thoughts. Matter of fact, they were just whispering this amongst themselves and passing it around. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Well, let's just stop there for just a second. And I want to talk about what an awesome Savior that we have. I'll put here, He's unfathomable. That's a long word we were talking about earlier. because of His compassion. He is unfathomable because of His mercy. And He is unfathomable, say it three times fast, because of His grace. Three awesome characteristics or descriptions of Jesus. The word unfathomable means that He's incomprehensible. He cannot be understood. He cannot be grasped. And the thing is that I want to talk about here, because of His compassion, His mercy, and His grace. The greatest thing about this sermon this morning is the word forgiveness. Now, the title says there is such thing as an unforgivable sin. And folks, I put to you this morning that you don't leave out of this room, and this is a big room, not as big as last Sunday morning's room, there is an unforgivable sin. We're going to talk about what it is and whether or not you've ever done it. Okay? Notice I said there is an unforgivable sin, and are we guilty of that this morning? We can change that, by the way. Looking at Jesus, who was full of... Folks, Jesus never made a mistake. He had mercy, He had grace, He had compassion. And in thinking about what He did, I want to ask you this. Is there somebody that you can think of that's lived such an awful life that God cannot help them? Or that has done something so horrible? I think about, looking over some of Taylor's stuff. She's in Washington, D.C., just landed a few minutes ago. She's going to this 2-week school that covers 3 basic documents in 3 different centuries. The Declaration of Independence, that's the 1700s. The Gettysburg Address, the 1800s. And I Have a Dream speech, that's the 1900s. I'm going to say the 20th century. 3 time periods in our country. And I think about our history and people who have done awful things. I think about serial killers. Jeffrey Dahmer, other serial killers that you can think of. I think of our country faced some evil men like Adolf Hitler, who murdered, how many millions were murdered at the hands or under the regime of Adolf Hitler? The president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, has said there was never such thing as a Holocaust. It's all made up. Of course, our president went over there and toured one of those concentration camps and said, how could anybody deny all what happened here at these different places? And that was just one that he went to. Let me ask you this. If you murdered 1 million people, could you be forgiven of that? You know, think about it. Is there a sin that's big enough that God's grace cannot forgive us for? You say, well, what about the one you're going to talk about later? Well, I'll explain that in just a second. Okay? God says His grace is big enough no matter what sin that you do, His grace is big enough to forgive you if you accept it, if you accept Him. So, you know, I think about people that if... Now, let me put it this way. I've been talking about history and people that you've never met. Let me go ahead and paint you a hypothetical situation. Is there... And I hate to think about stuff like this, but I'm trying to make this real to you. If you have a child right now, or a husband or a wife or somebody else that's very close to you, and someone was to deliberately abuse them and take their life, could you offer forgiveness to the perpetrator? Think about what I just said. And let that sink in just a second. Whoever is the most dear person to you right now on this planet, it may be your spouse, it may be your child, it may be one of your grandchildren, someone were to abuse them and take their life, could you offer forgiveness to them? I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I would greatly, horribly struggle with ever even coming close to offer forgiveness to them. I'm being honest with you. I would struggle greatly. And probably want to see them die at my hands. Matter of fact, Brother Bobby and I were on the island Bethany, or actually it was a little cape there and on the seashore. And there was a woman 2 months before our arrival that was murdered, raped and murdered in that village where we were working. One of the church members' mothers. It's not a very big village. I don't even think they had a population of 200 people. So you imagine how close they were. The church member, and I can understand this, and it doesn't cause me, I could just see this happening with one of y'all. If someone was to do that to one of your moms, and this lady was in her late 50s, and that happened just a couple months before, the authorities caught him, and you know what the son to the mom did? He went up to the authorities, and he said, set him free. Actually, it's two perpetrators, set them free. But he had ulterior motives in mind. He said, set them free into my hands. I understand that. That's probably the way I would feel. But get this. God says, you say, well, we're not God. I know that. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. God says, forgive them. He can. We struggle. You know why? Because you and I are in sinful flesh that likes to see. I'm just trying to tell you how big a forgiving God is, and we're not. Okay? There's a big difference between God's forgiveness and our forgiveness. As it goes on, so He is unfathomable. He's also unconquerable. A little bit easier to say. I started into verse 24. And this unconquerable situation is talking about how sin works. And it goes on to say, verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, he's talking about himself, Jesus is, by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, talking about the devil, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And let me go ahead and talk about this unconquerable situation. There were many people in that group who didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, but He did all those miracles to show that He was. And then here in verse 30, what I've described as the unfaithful. Basically, every church has people in it, whether you're a church member here or not. You're either doing one of two things. You're either, and it's the same way at work or with your family. No matter what. Did you know, and think about people you work with. Have you ever worked with somebody that was good to work with. They did their job and they helped accomplish the goal. You've got people at work, at school, at church, in your family. They're either helping the situation or they're hurting the situation. That's true. I mean, people that I've worked with before, they did their job and they accomplished the goal. Some better than others, yes. But did you know that's what he's saying here in verse 30? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not scattereth abroad. So church members, you're either helping the church or you're hurting the church. Which is it? That's it. You can't, according to Jesus, you're either with him or you're against him. Did you know that? There can be no in between. And if there is an in between, there is something between heaven and hell, but there's not, is there? You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And I know that sounds cruel, it sounds crude, but folks, it's the truth. And there is no other place mentioned in God's Word where we stay for eternity. Heaven or hell? It's not our choice, it's your choice. Nobody makes it up for you. So I'm either helping my church or I'm hurting my church. Now, probably, matter of fact, Jesus repeated this because most churches are made up of what's called lukewarm people. He says this exact same thing with the letter to the church at Laodicea. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, but you're not. You're lukewarm, and it makes me sick, and I want to vomit. In the King James Version, it says, spew you out of my mouth. Well, that's what, it, you know, I know that sounds gross to some of you, but it means regurgitate. You know, I'm just telling you exactly what it means. Why? You want me to explain that real quick? I've got time. Keep an eye on you. What? Why? Why? Jesus is saying, I would rather you be completely out of church and never come in here than be lukewarm. That doesn't make sense. Seems like we'd always want people to come to church. Well, this is God speaking. I want you to come, everybody to come, sinners to come. I want drug addicts to come to church. I want alcoholics to come to church. I want the most awfulest people. I mean, in most time, get this, you'll only invite people to church that you're comfortable with. Amen or oh me. You won't invite somebody to church that doesn't look like you, talk like you, smell like you, or whatever the other case synonym adjective may be. Well, we only normally invite people to church that we like. Have you ever thought about that? Do you invite people you don't like? Then you're out of the ordinary. Most people only invite people they do like or want them to come to church that looks like them and talks like them and acts like them and smells like them or whatever the other thing may be. But get this. In thinking about forgiveness and all of this and who we like and who we're around, God looks beyond all of that. He's looking inside your heart. He's wanting you to be committed. He's not with me, he's against me. By the way, lukewarm, here's the problem with it, is because most lukewarm Christians, we come to church and we say, oh, how I love Jesus, but when we leave, we act like everybody else. And people say, you know what? If we do that, we're keeping more people out away from the Lord because you know what they see? They say, well, I live just as good a life as they do. There's nothing different that they do than I do. There's no difference. And that's where we mess up. Should we not live differently than the world? And that's what verse 30 is all about. Finally, you get to unforgivable sin. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin, child molesters, murderers, idiots, evil people, bad drivers even are forgiven. and blasphemy. You can even call God a dirty name. It says it here, shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You can walk up to Jesus and call Jesus every name in the book. Did you know he can forgive you of it? But whosoever speaketh, I'm in verse 32, against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. It is a sin against the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has always worked on the heart of man. So here's the unforgivable sin. Anything you do outside of your body can be forgiven. But what you do inside your heart with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit, they're one and the same. That's the one thing that cannot be forgiven. The Holy Ghost has always worked where? Inside the heart of man, inside of your heart. Over there previously, Jesus said, I've got to go so the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, can come. And He's going to reprove and convict and lead. He's not going to speak of Himself, which means draw attention to Himself. But He's going to, and it talks about of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And He'll guide you in all truth. Where does He guide you? In your heart. So where's the Holy Spirit's job? In your heart. But if you turn Him away, what does it say there? It's unforgivable. So, this morning, all of us, it's what I call an unshakable service. And it says there in verse 33, the tree is either good or it's corrupt. Did you know that? You're either saved or you're not this morning. That's what verse 33 is all about. We're saved or we're not. There's not a, I don't know if I am or not. It's, you can know. It says, how can you being evil, and it means lost, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, it's where the Holy Spirit is, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man of his treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by their words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt also be condemned. So this morning, as we prepare for a hymn of invitation, it's all up to you. We're either, it's one side of the coin or it's the other. We're either saved or lost this morning. If you're saved, you're living for God or you're not. If you're lost, you're either listening to God or you're rejecting Him. God's Word says, over in Genesis chapter 6, and I apply this liberally, He said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man, my Holy Spirit. You know why? There's coming a day when we'll draw our last breath. We won't have an opportunity anymore. So, the choice is yours.